It's time for Q&A in the Kitchen. It's a podcast in YouTube series where tattoo artists and piercer talk about some common questions that those who collect tattoos and piercings may have or may not have. Who knows? Brought to you in part by Skin Kitchen Tattoo and Axiom Body Piercing.
Yay!
Got the usual crew, the crew that do.
Put a hole in me, Dave.
I will.
The Motley Crew.
Starting over here on my direct, or all the way on the right, is Jimmy St. John, tattoo artist of the Skin Kitchen.
Applause.
Yay. Applause. I think it's this one.
That's even better.
Better.
Okay.
He's a funny man. Funny man.
I try.
Maybe it's
be here all week.
Oh, there we go.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And then directly to me, to my right, Jack Lowe of Skin Kitchen Tattoo, tattoo
Hello.
Artist
Hello,
and the owner of the Skin Kitchen.
Yay!
I'm Dave-O. I'm a professional body piercer and own and operate the Axiom Body Piercing Studio.
Should have done the wah.
And then over here is Brent Starr, tattoo artist at Skin Kitchen.
Hi, guys. Yeah.
We like you.
Yeah, you're
popular.
Right. Cool.
What okay, is can I stop using the sound effects?
Yeah, for now.
Today we're going to talk about... What is the future?
In the future.
Of body piercing and tattooing. What we're going to kind of talk about is how we see maybe technology changing piercing and tattooing in the future. We can talk a little bit about how it already has.
Maybe sort of like green. I was kidding. Sorry.
Yeah, well, when I started, it was still illegal in some states in the United States. From what I understand and what I remember, there was a big hepatitis outbreak. And
1952, I believe, is when it happened. 50, 51, right
fair,
around there.
Yeah, fair enough. And so places like New York and some other cities, states.
Oklahoma, Virginia Beach, Norfolk, all them.
Yeah.
Usually anywhere near a military base.
Yep.
Right. It was outlawed. You know, back then, it was not nearly the process it is now. Back then, they would use a sponge and a bucket, and they would use that bucket all day or for several days, and they would literally just pull the sponge out of the bucket to clean you off, throw that sponge back in that bucket with that same water, keep on rocking, so you can see how easy it would be to spread the gook. But as, you know, humans evolved and we developed these ways to not transmit said things, it slowly started popping back up. And, you know, so just in the time that I've been tattooing, I've seen it from illegal to now a very standard or kind of stable part of our culture.
It's part of mainstream culture now.
Yeah. So, man, to think where it's going to be in another 30.
I don't even think I can imagine.
A lot more common. Technology-wise, the biggest changes I've seen, at least on the tattoo side, is, of course, the implication of using electronic devices for drawing.
The iPad.
You know, the iPad, and before that, it was printing out even font on a computer. How much of a big step that was.
I drew everything by hand on paper.
That's so true. The computer, well, the internet, being able to pretty much get any reference material that you want. I mean,
yes.
And more all the time, you know.
That's awesome.
But, the first, I don't know, 7 or so years at least, you know, there wasn't really a strong internet as far as what the content is now.
No.
So now that the content is, I mean, pretty much any human thought is out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Any question that has been answered is out there somewhere. We're able just to go grab, you know, say somebody wants a blue jay. Well, before I had to go to a bookstore or a library, I had to find a book on birds, and I had to look through to hopefully find a picture of a blue jay. And even then, it's not going to be in the pose I want.
Nope. You have to change the pose after that.
Yeah, so it's hours and hours of just looking for a reference material. And then on top of that, it's having to redraw that reference material without the reference you really need for that to create the drawing. And now you type blue jays into an image search on Google, and you're literally going to have hundreds of thousands of pictures.
I would imagine
go ahead.
Oh, I would imagine here soon there would be 3D references of anything that
well,
you
there already would, is a lot
like a 3D model.
I already have those.
I just did that piece, Ghost Riders in the Sky, the Johnny Cash yes. kind of deal, and he wanted to put the four horsemen of the apocalypse in there, like kind of chasing the cattle. So I got a handful, two or three different horses, kind of in a running pose, and my 3D software, and manipulated that to the angle I wanted. And screenshotted that and used that as an underlying cool. reference. A lot of the same way we do with, we've got program that you can do that with the human body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
the can, hands. And...
Yeah, it's kind of like the digital version of that wooden guy you see with the light bulb yeah. in the yeah. head, you know, who does not move at all in any kind of organic
no.
matter right. at all. I don't know how who those help, but God bless you. But yeah, we can move practically every finger and every muscle to get these really cool dynamic poses and start from there. But back in the day, man,
the internet of tattooing at that point in time was Flash.
Well, yeah,
and that's
yeah.
why Flash is yeah.
there. And then you and drop those, like a custom piece and then the customer come in and go, man, it's beautiful. I love it. Can you put the doves on the other side of the ship and the compass rose on the other one?
Yeah, that was a
and
real
just switch
killer.
Them. Like, yeah, no problem. Give me another 8 hours and I'll redraw all this.
Right.
Because it was on paper.
Yeah. and the thing is that I there's people probably getting tattooed now that have never, ever seen a piece of Flash.
Yeah.
And that is kind of a weird thing. I just thought of that. Mm-hmm. Like, they have no point of reference to walking into a studio and seeing all those designs and yeah. all this craziness.
Back then, that's pretty much all you had to offer, especially yeah. back in the pre kind of revitalization or the rediscovering
the
of tattooing.
Yeah,
yeah mm-hmm. the renaissance of tattooing. They would have acetate. So it's a piece of plastic that they would make a groove in with a vibrating pen, basically scratches in acetate mm-hmm. that they would put...
sprinkle the...
Yeah, the...
stencil stuff on it.
Basically graphite yeah. a lot of them would use. Yeah. And you'd put Vaseline on the skin and you would take this hard... you know, piece of acetate on this rounded body part mm-hmm. and try to... pull the graphite out of the acetate grooves onto that Vaseline, yep. you know,
and then tattoo that.
And imagine yeah. how easy that is mm. to mess up. You know, how just one touch or wipe and your stencil is gone.
Well, that's probably why a lot of the old school stuff kind of looks. Some of it looks a little distorted and stretched. Like you're kind of like, how did that face
it
get like
be.
That? Well, you know, like.
Because if you're not yeah. a strong artist or really don't have a strong third eye to, okay, even though that got wiped off, obviously it goes here and there. Yeah, then you're guessing, you yep. know, really at that point. So now with what we have, I use that Epson printer with an ink you get that will print the stencil out just like a normal inkjet printer, but it uses stencil ink.
Yeah.
And you can do gradations on it.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. yeah. So you can basically take a photograph of someone's face and just take it just like it is and print it out and stencil that and see all the little nuances and shadows where yeah. before we were stuck with the Thermofax, which was
a giant.
Bless the Thermofax.
Yeah, it was a giant technology leap.
Yeah, before the iPad, that was probably like the most important thing that you could have is a good Thermofax because that's really kind of determined how clean and how nice your tattoos look.
Yep.
Yeah.
So just those steps, man, what would be the next now?
And the machines have changed. We've gone back to rotaries. They're so much more controllable and more precise than the old coil machines and
right.
the needle cartridges now instead of a whole needle bar
right.
and soldered tips.
That's a good point. Yeah, the know. Rotary machines, they kind of, well, and I think what made the rotary machines come back is the company who invented that, they call it a safety cartridge, but the cartridges for the tattoo machines, they invented the cartridge and it fit into a rotary machine.
Yeah.
So I think that...
revitalized it, I think.
Yeah, it made people try if they wanted to use this type of disposable cartridge
yeah.
they had to use this yeah. rotary machine, and I think that showed especially a lot of Americans, because overseas the rotary machines were pretty popular
yeah.
but over in America it was all about the electromagnetic coil. Machine the coil machines. So anyway, I think that opened artists' eyes up to wow, these rotaries have yeah. a lot of positives to them.
Yeah, they're consistent,
and from that it, you know, the rotaries just exploded, and now a lot of artists use rotaries. And then after that, I'd say the next big thing that happened is battery power.
Oh, yeah.
Now, battery...
releasing you from that cord and tied to that brakes, power supply and whatnot.
I think, that's like the next big step that a lot of machines are moving towards simplifying and minimizing what you need to put a tattoo on the skin. Yeah. So you don't need a foot pedal anymore. You don't need a power unit anymore that plugs into the wall. You don't need a cord going from that to your hand. You don't need springs and coils to tune.
Extra parts, capacitors.
It's gotten very, very simplified and it's just like anything, I guess, like even, all but the internal combustion engine. Like, come on, guys. over time, it refines and gets simpler and go, instead of these 9 pieces, we just need one of these. And it does the same thing and it does it better.
Doesn't break down as often. Because I don't think people really understand.
Yeah, your old machines, you had to tune constantly.
And if something broke, there wasn't like a guy you called on the corner that would come down and fix that. You had to fix it yourself and you were relying on whatever information the old feller that was around you. Your buddy had to call on the other side of the country or whatever to try to figure out how to get this damn thing working.
And the time factor to the boot,
one of my big pulls was when I went to rotaries and went over from coils was if you had a coil machine, you had to set up a liner. If you were doing super tight lines and regular lines, you had like, let's say, a 7 liner for the outside for the thick stuff. You had a 3 liner for the super detailed stuff. Then you had a smaller mag, whatever, like a 7 or 9. Then you had like a 15 to a 23 mag set up. So you got 4 machines set up.
Yeah.
4 different tips, tubes, all this nonsense. And then with that rotary, you can, I'm going lining. Okay, cool. I'm shading. I got one machine. All I got to do is this. And change that little disposable cartridge out, and it's
which
over.
Reduces the amount of possibilities of contamination from
it does
person
that.
To person.
It eliminated it, use for autoclaves for our side.
Well,
you still have to use them.
Not to mention hours and hours and hours of building your own needles.
Building your own needles.
God, it sucked. Huge,
that's the biggest advantage to the cartridges for me. Because the cartridges, you don't have a relationship with them at all. Mm-mm. And I'll explain because
What you're talking.
Yeah, when you build a needle, you knew that thing from when it was just a tiny baby to
it's
now
just
where
a bunch
it's
of little needles.
Now it's your buddy in the field, and so you just know each needle. Yeah. You're not surprised. You know at least you know how straight it's going to be, where it's going to be because you freaking made it. And with a cartridge, you're kind of like, okay, let's see what they did with this one. You're kind of discovering it brand new each time. So I mean, that I miss about the needle bars and everything, but the time it saves me.
It's crazy.
Outweighs by far the positives that I was getting from needle bars.
I remember when I got out of my apprenticeship, it was around the time the first pre-made needle heads and pre-manufactured needles on bars and stuff were coming out. And like it was like $10, $12 for like one pre-made needle.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember all the old timers were like, F that. I can buy a whole damn thing of them. I can make a whole army of needles for what one needle costs on that.
Hours of labor in the process.
Yeah, but they didn't care. But it was like Jack saying, you had a needle that you knew from the start to finish. You knew exactly what it would do, exactly how it was put together, how it was going to run. And even when they got the mass production down to where it was pretty cheap, like $20 for a whole box of, 50 needles, even though they were all done on a machine, every one of them was different and inconsistent. It was never like you couldn't pick 2 needles out of the same box and they tattoo the exact same way. It just didn't happen.
So they didn't have the quality control.
No,
needed to be.
Well, it's a machine. It's making everyone just like this, but it's how it goes onto the needle bar. If it's a little crooked or if it's soldered high or a little
you could customize them kind of. Like if you liked your mags not quite so spread out or you liked them more out or if you liked them further back on the bar a little further out, you liked them not soldered quite as far down for black and gray so they can kind of bristle a little more and they weren't quite as you could really
customize
them.
When you get them all out of the box, it comes off that line, everyone is kind of close to this way, and that's it.
And not to say that there's not hundreds of manufacturers now that make them, but it's a lot tougher to search out to try to find something that's close. And then within that, there's irregularities. So.
And how much crap are you going to end up throwing away? I did this with jewelry. I mean, we have a thing out front, and I'm not advertising this in any least shape or form, that just says it's a bunch of jewelry that just says free to get home. The reason why that jewelry's in there is I don't know where it came from. And chances are a lot of that was sample pieces people sent me, and I just threw in a drawer. And the reason why is because the only way you knew was to actually look at the jewelry, use it a few times, and that would give you an idea of whether or not it was something you wanted to stock and sell to the general public.
Right.
And yeah. I'm sure with the needle bars, it was kind of needles. It was kind of the same thing because you didn't know what you were getting.
Well, if you,
you got
tattooed
it,
back in the day, you'd see them like take a lighter to it and make it open, like pull the solder back so it would get looser instead of being tighter, or you know, wiggling it or modifying, like always messing with it to get it kind of close to. You know,
tuning it.
Uniformed of what you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
You always had to pre-bend them. And so they'd ride the bottom of the tube and, you know, open them up or close them off or, you know, whatever it was you had to do to make them tighter or looser. Or, you
so
know,
what do you think?
Stuff.
What do you think could be done needle-wise then in the future? Like what?
After the cartridges are out now, I'm sure there's going to be something else come out that's huge, but I mean, that's pretty far from my mind.
There's been a company, at least one that I've seen, they've tried to use like a magnet type of situation to where nothing actually touches the cartridge. It's a magnetic field that pushes a metal piece in the cartridge to make that.
It seems like a lot of parts to go wrong, though.
Well, maybe you could look at it that way, I guess. It would still have that moving piece. Mm. It's just that instead of that, the needle bar pushing the rod on the cartridge, mm-hmm. and there being a physical touch there, there'd be a positive magnet here and a negative magnet here, right. or two norths or two souths, I guess.
It would probably run more efficiently and with less drags. Basically, I'm guessing that it's inside the machine itself.
Yeah, and I guess it might give it kind of a little cushion too, because that, you know, that magnetic push has a, you know, you can push them together, but they're still going to push apart.
How do you get to make sure every one of them is the same, though? Like this doesn't, the polarity doesn't waver or change a little bit in between. And, you know what I mean? Like that just seems, in my mind,
electrically charged.
Yeah, there's a north pole and a south pole to every magnet. So when they're making it, they would just turn the right pole, whatever pole it is, that way in the cartridge, and then the machine would
basically
always be one way.
I'm guessing, I don't know how exactly a rotary machine goes, but there's still a bar in there moving up and down.
Yeah.
So if it's magnetic, it's like the trains that they have.
Right.
It's going to float kind of, so there's not going to be any wear on the bar.
It's going to
last forever.
Right. But is every magnet so uniform that like every magnet on the cartridge that goes to with this opposite of this one that's in the machine or whatever, are they all the same or does some of them weaker? Yeah,
it's going to draw back and forth. That's all it does, and it keeps.
Yeah, but it's got to do it consistently at the same tension. Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Like a bigger needle grouping would need more.
Right. If you put the same magnet on every one, it'll run that three great, but it don't run the 25 worth of
crap. It'll increase or adjust
when the machine you have now does that, what do you do? You turn it up or turn it down?
Well, you turn it up or down for, you know, power.
So
can you do that with magnets? Can you adjust the strain?
It's an electromagnet in there because it'll increase the pole in one direction or the other direction, and it'll balance it out. It's a difficult thing to figure out, but once they do, it will be more efficient.
So we got away from electromagnetic machines only to go back to electromagnetic machines.
Yeah, in a way.
Yes, and around robin.
Using it kind of in a different way, because that's not the motor.
Right.
It's part of the action of the machine. Yeah. It's not the,
that's
kind of a connection.
The power of the machine. But yeah, so there's been people that have been trying different things and
different ideas.
You know, that hasn't caught on yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be hard to imagine because I think I could have maybe given enough time, probably thought, you know, what would be the evolution of the needle bar and the needle? Well, just having a little cartridge you could put on and take off real easy without all the mamma jamma. I could have maybe come up with that eventually, but to go from that to
it's hard to imagine.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, what's next?
That's a hard one, man.
I think the only way it could advance is if you change the way that it punctures the skin or what mechanism punctures the skin to deliver the ink.
Yeah, maybe better quality in the alloys.
The rotaries are so precise
now. Steels that are, you know, being used.
Yeah, I mean, unless you move away from it being a needle at all.
That's
at the end of the day, you're poking somebody with a needle, you know, to deposit ink in
there.
Maybe
we can use lasers to inject.
That's what I was thinking in that direction, but then again.
But then it's just a burn, right?
They already do that, the cauterizing, where they do branding that style.
Yeah.
Can you burn it?
But I don't know how you would actually eject the skin with the ink.
Yeah, with a burn, heals different, so I would imagine we try to push it out.
Because you are making a cut.
They would reject it.
Yeah,
more.
but heat's gonna pull that out.
Yeah,
it's gonna want. It's
Maybe
gonna
a
wanna
puff of air that pushes it. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be like you know, it could be pneumatic. Because I used to do shots when I was in the military. With they were pneumatic. Yeah. You go down a line and they would give you one in each arm. There was just this little air thing. And there was no needle. And it would. Yep. God, it hurt. But yeah,
they hurt 50 times more. Oh yeah.
It's
air.
Forcing it through. Well, there
was
pores.
What movie was it? Huh. It was one of the Coen brother movies where there was the assassin that was killing people with air guns.
I don't remember.
No Country for Old Men.
That wasn't an air gun. That was one
was
of the.
Ram.
That was a ram.
Was it a ram?
Yeah,
I always thought it was
like a livestock.
Air gun. Maybe I'm thinking of a different movie.
It's got a post in it.
Okay.
And when
you
put it up to him, the air compressor shoots that bolt out, and then that bolt goes through your skull.
It's a cow killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a livestock killer.
Yeah. So
I don't use the hammers no more.
Nope.
Yeah. And so, and overall, machine wise, I mean, them being battery powered. Is so they're cordless now.
You're gonna see an advance in the batteries.
That would
gotta go with it.
Yeah, but that's not like a big change. You know, like a big change was needle bars to
I get that.
You know, so just
maybe
making
like,
a better battery.
Maybe a little bit of fun,
maybe the stuff in the ink. Like you know, they're always putting like nanobots and microchips, smaller and smaller stuff. Like, what if you can start like tattooing that stuff under the skin and then it being used and readed?
Maybe you can just, you know, pop a cartridge onto your cyborg finger and, you know, just start going to town.
Oh, just finger paint.
Or little LEDs. Like
that were powered
LEDs
by your,
that could change the
movement.
Well, like nanobots could light up and change stuff and whatnot.
Well, I did hear about a pigment, and I don't know if it was real or not, that was for diabetics. You'd tattoo a little patch of it and it would be one color or look a certain way if you were under certain conditions. And
because that brings us into wearables, and like I've always thought that there was a possibility that at one point in time certain piercing jewelry would actually have some type of low power identifiers in it, to the standpoint of, you know, I'm diabetic, you know, the gym would turn orange because we're already wearing wearables,
right?
Well, you guys don't have yours on today.
No, I don't. I took it off from my shower last night, and I didn't put it back on.
But, I mean, you know, will monitor your heart.
Yeah, they're making stick-on temporary tattoos. They're these little sticker boards. Looks like a Band-Aid. And you can put those on, and it's good. It'll stay on for, like, 3 to 5 days or something, and it monitors your sleep and your heartbeat and, like, all this different, you know, health stuff and whatnot. Or you can put, like, your bank information on it, and you can just go use that and pay for stuff. They've already come out with that. So, I mean, you know, if they were integrated into a way for us to puncture the skin and put it in, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know how that would work, but I do think it's definitely possible to do it inside, like a piercing.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, the jewelry, because we already have, like, LED-lit jewelry and different, you know, electronic clock, belly button rings, and all kinds of
stuff. A lot of that
stuff
is really generic, gimmicky stuff.
Yeah, it's gimmicky stuff right now, but, like, it's always advancing. Now they got smart rings.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You can answer your phone and do anything. Like, it's
because
crazy.
Like part of the problem wearing a watch is it gets uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You were gonna.
Oh, yeah. You can buy NFC tags and program them yourself pretty easily
to do anything.
And you can just put that stuff in. You know, your whatever.
Yeah.
You
got the Facebook glasses.
Yeah, for like you know, getting in and out of your house and doors and stuff like. They've had that technology for.
There was
10 years.
A guy, and he was a piercing tattoo guy, and he had several of them in his hand.
Remember that.
And he opened his door at his house with it. He like started his car, unlocked his car with another.
It was his own Alexa.
It's got he could basically do about everything in his life with just, you know,
pretty cool.
He didn't have any keys or anything anymore. He was just like this RF guy.
Yep, no
and
wallet,
I think he had magnets too in his hand
in his
somewhere.
Hands pick stuff up.
Yeah,
I do remember that. Yep. Levitate stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Yeah, very odd stuff going on there.
Interesting ideas, you know.
And identification, of course, is going to be a big part of it one way or another.
What about piercing? Do you see anything coming along super technical?
One thing
to change how you pierce?
I think would be, well, one thing back to the tattooing is I think that somebody's eventually going to come up with a program that does a good job of transferring images, whether they're photographs or paintings or whatever, into simple drawing. Line draws that are easy to work with, there's kind of that there, but that technology really hasn't quite got there.
Are you saying like a Starship Troopers type tattoo machine,
like a robot
tattoos?
Well, no. What I'm saying
taking
is like
the artwork and making
when you get like a Bluebird, it pulls it in there, it makes a 3D model for you, and then automatically you can change the poses and everything else.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think that program's going to eventually come about.
You know, and that's not crazy too, because there's an app that. Jimmy just showed me the other day that you draw in 2D, hit a button, and it'll turn that drawing into a 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing, like how, you that's know, awesome. How it just, because it interpolates, you know, it's yeah. AI. It uses its brain just like a person would to go, okay, he drew this shape. He was probably meaning this thing to be a sphere. Mm-hmm. And then this coming off, that's more than likely a leg.
Yep.
So it gives it the proportions and the look of, you know, what it interpolates
that's
you
really
drawing.
Cool.
And if you draw like a bird and it's pretty close, I would imagine it's got all the reference of, you know, the internet. And he goes, okay, well, he's drawing a cardinal. Boom, take, you know, all the different references of cardinals, compile it, put a 3D cardinal together, and go, here you go.
Yeah, all it would
move
have
its
to
wings
do is
or put it wherever you want.
All it would have to do, all the AI would have to do is recognize it. Okay, that's a bird, one. Okay, so it's got two wings, a body, a head, a beak. I know and where those things are roughly. Looking at it and measuring how long the beak is from how far the eye is and everything, it's this kind of bird. Okay, this, you know, and so it knows what it is, and it's going to have that model. Yeah. Either programmed into it or be able to get that model or produce that model, so then you can move it around in ways that animal
similar awesome. To what they're doing with the human body right now. Yeah. Like you can download it's a male and a female like slug, a clone basically, just a you know human body, the muscle texture, size, girth, tone. You can do like break it down to just an arm or a hand or a leg or a foot or a torso. Like you know they already have that and we use them now.
Yeah, to draw on the pieces.
I'm just saying that somebody's probably going to come up with that and that's going to be.
Well, yeah, it's not far away.
It's all about. I mean, technology at its best is things that save you time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And finding and doing the research to find you know that ballet dancer in that pose.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 20-30 minutes to find that, or you trying to find something different.
But if a computer compiled like a female,
this is
yeah, and you could move her around however you want, like the ones we had. With the people, you can put them in any pose you want, doing whatever.
Right.
If you can do that and then see it in a 3D, you can take that and use it to make a reference for your own reference to draw something.
Yeah.
You know, the character of the gladiator that you got fighting the lion in the ring or whatever.
Yeah,
know?
I think the closest thing that there is to that now is basically like what I did with the horses in that one piece is I went on to a couple websites that have all kinds of different 3D models on it, and I looked for horses. And so once I found the horse, I was able to take it into my software and just rotate
it
and get the right angle, you know. But it would be nice to be able to put in a picture of anything, you know, and have it, okay, now I can adjust the perspective of it and adjust it would be.
I know it'll take some computer. It's going to take some.
So
it's
yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
And I hate to get all dystopian future on you, but I think the ideal for most people would be to eliminate us from the...
Yeah.
Well, you know,
they're trying.
Not,
to that.
You know, general people.
The machine you stick your arm in and...
Yeah. They've tried many times with
it. And it doesn't work very well. Here's what I see that application going. Is you go, like, we all went places and put two quarters or one quarter in a penny, and you spin it around and you get the mashed penny. That's where that type of thing is going to happen. It's going to be like $30. You put your hand in this cuff, and you get this nasty-looking, great tattoo.
Yeah, you get, like, some
basically looks like, you know, Vegas.
Right.
19 or
souvenir type,
that
souvenir
kind of thing. I can see the application, but for like really detailed stuff, especially on the human body, which is that's a problem I've always seen because I've watched videos of people that have tried to do this. Like, I'm gonna make they start out thinking it's gonna be really simple, and they get in there and they're like, oh wow,
there's a lot.
I'm gonna have to have like 80,000 sensors on here, and I gotta write this program that's gonna be able to measure that and adjust it. And
well, that's what I was gonna say. The computer can't adjust, like when you're tattooing right here, the skin's at a certain tautness, and then when you come around the corner where the bone's missing and you got that hollow spot where it's real soft skin. And it deviates in, so like you got to change the pressure of it and the depth of it.
And the depth.
And like all that stuff's very hard for a computer to do.
And that's assuming that person sitting in the mall is still, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it'll basically have to be something. I assume that they would have something that would, like an airbag.
Yeah, but even if you flex.
Even if you flex, your fingers, anything
changes that. That's true.
They have everything changes. Robot surgeons that do that now.
Yeah,
I have a client.
But you're emancipated. You're not emancipated. What am I saying? I don't know what that word is.
You're sedated.
I was emancipated. I don't know what that means.
You're sedated.
When you're sedated, it'd be really easy to
do. But you still have muscle twitches and stuff when you're sedated.
Yeah.
But Not as much, especially not as if much you're on drugs.
Awake, yeah.
Maybe they could, I don't know, clamp you down.
Well, my tattoo was $50, but this, the anesthesiologist was $1,200.
Stasis jelly, you know, while the robots scan you and figure out every contour. And
I equate that type of thing in tattooing to the way painters, custom, like, car painters and sign painters felt about vinyl when it came out.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Do a lot of people use vinyl? Yes. Mm-hmm. But they're still painters.
Yeah. It doesn't look the same as a hand painted sign, man.
Exactly. It's not the same. It's cheaper and it's quick and it serves the purpose. But when you want something really done good and right, that's going to last, you still go to an artist,
handmade,
you know,
is best.
Right. It's kind of like,
and
the
it also, the more that commercial version's out there, the more the value of the hand actual done. Hand done becomes.
Right.
And usually the busier they are, like pinstriping a car, exactly. Opposed to going and buying some tape.
Exactly, yeah. That. Yeah. Exactly. I think it'll become illegal, period, before that technology were to get far enough to threaten any of us. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You know, I'm way too old for that.
You know, right. I gave the kid $5 and he came back with 4 tattoos, you know, at the mall again.
Yeah.
He got an ice cream cone and a Shazam symbol and
a dancing girl on his arm.
You know, I wonder if that trend is going to carry on to the younger generation a lot like dad's sleeves did. You know, now their children are coming in and it's, well, adults have tattoos. My mom and dad have a bunch. Everybody they know has. I mean, that's just what you do. It's kind of a normal built-in thing.
Rite of passage.
It's just kind of like you buy a car when you get old enough. Because, well, look, everybody's got a car. You didn't even question it. You're like, I need a car. It's kind of the same way being a kid and just being held and hugged and loved by this person with all these tattoos. It just looks normal. Man, I can't wait till I get my tattoos. It's kind of this grow-up thing. I wonder if the facial tattoo thing is going to blend into that as well. It's like, well, I saw all these people with face tattoos and my, you know, I wonder if that'll become kind of a common place.
I think it probably will.
It will to a degree, but I think it will always be dictated by the market. What career opportunity. I know this is going to start a bunch of comments. It really is going to be whether or not employers are going to employ you.
But at the same time,
and if it's not a recession-proof situation, because let's face it, if there's a huge job shortage,
they can be picky.
They can be really, really picky. Right now, in this day and age, they don't have to be picky. They can't be picky.
It's the reverse of that.
They can't keep people in jobs.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot like when I was younger. You know, ear piercing for men and boys became popular. And it was like, man, you're not going to be able to get a job. You know, that's just the worst thing you can do.
Take it out or cover it up.
Well, just like tattoos have kind of become, oh, yeah, we'll try to find somebody who doesn't have one.
I know.
And keep a worker, you know.
Right.
So I don't. That does affect things. It does.
Absolutely.
But there's enough people that don't give a fuck.
they're going to do it. They can't.
Yeah. And like you said, you know, they're not going to be able to not hire someone that doesn't have.
It always comes down to the demand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You
know, as somebody who's lived through a couple of recessions, I had to take my ear.
Well, and it also shows
covering up tattoos
that there's power
and
there's,
covering up tattoos
that there's power in numbers.
Yeah.
It's like, absolutely. Hey, you're not going to be allowed to do this if you do that. Everybody does that. Well, okay.
I guess everybody did it. I guess everybody jumped off the cliff. So now we're going to let everybody jump off the cliff.
Hence the united we stand, divided we fall.
Yeah. A person only has the power you give them.
And we all hope that each generation has it better than we did.
They're not now.
You guys have it.
As far as having visual tattoos,
but you missed some good stuff.
Yeah. No, this could lead into also on the tattoo side, and we're talking about needles. I think that 3D printing is going to be a big factor in the future. Think about it. If you have a 3D printer and you're paying for it, you just pay a patent number or a patent fee and just manufacture your own cartridges right there in your own.
You still need the needle and stuff, though.
Yeah, but there'll be printers that will be able to print that.
Metal. Okay. Yeah, eventually.
Well, they're metal printers now, but they're astronomical.
They're just starting to get to where you can do metal at home. And it's funny because it's still a filament.
Yeah.
But when it hardens, it's It's metal.
Weird.
Normally, the way they do it in like big, you know, like Porsche or Ferrari and stuff, is they'll use a powder of whatever metal they want to use. Say it's aluminum, they'll have aluminum powder in a and then they'll shoot it with a laser, and it just fuses that metal. Yeah,
it's like an ore.
It basically superheats like a little cauldron. You know,
melts it right on the spot.
That's and melts pretty cool. It wherever that laser hits, and so they build a 3D part out of it that way. So. I can't imagine it would be too long before there's some sort of emulsion or something you pour in. You say, I want 25-7 rounds, hit the button, and comes out of this liquid a few minutes later.
Well, when you got yours, we were doing the disposable screw-on caps.
Yeah,
like
the
grips and stuff like that are very popular. And, you know, right now, if you buy them, you know, you can buy them. There's a huge market. When we had the resin 3D printer when it came in? Dude, you made somebody, they were awesome. Yeah. Like, you figured out the screw pattern, the threads, and you know, you made all those for like the Bishop and then the Cheyenne and the different cups and stuff. Man, that was awesome.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just, almost, it's getting pretty darn close.
Yeah,
it's pretty close.
Because,
I mean, I could make a tattoo machine, you know, but you could make a tattoo machine sitting in prison 50 years ago, too.
Yeah, if you had a set player, no problem.
Set player and some guitar string.
Or anything.
But yeah, but that's a good point. I think and 3D is kind of got this fine line to where there's going to be the people that have the time and want to mess with it, you know, depending on how easy they get it. To the people who are like, I don't get it, and I'm not interested in getting it enough to learn. So, you know.
And I think there's going to be a company that's going to come along and go, oh, you guys have all these designs? I'm going to give you $20 for that design. I'm going to give you $20 for that design, that, whatever, all these people. And then they're going to bank all of it and go, this is how much this costs. This is how much this costs.
They're already doing that in a lot of
things. Or you have a monthly membership, like, you know, photostock.com. You can go in there, you pay 20, 30 bucks a month, and you can go in there and make whatever you want.
Well,
I think eventually it is going to get to that point, but I think right now there's really not that.
We got to where we're making the
designs out there yet.
The ink shakers, the ink mixers.
Yeah, yeah.
Jack's been printing and developing like a couple different kinds because I was always like, I'm going to get a paint shaker and one of them clean paint buckets that doesn't, you know, never had paint in it. And I'm going to put foam in it, put my tattoo inks in it I need, and go in the back room and hit it for 5 minutes while I'm setting up. And I go, but nobody really wants to hear that, and it's a lot of cumbersome shit.
Nobody wants to hear that.
I grew up, my dad painted, you know, did all kinds of art stuff, and a lot of it was automotive, pinstriping, and custom painting, and all that. I've been around a paint shaker.
You hate the sound of it after a while.
A lot.
Yeah.
And
well, that's where the idea was born out of.
Nobody wants to hear that. But you know, luckily, my design
is quiet.
It only takes about 30 seconds to a minute, and that's all you need, and you're good to go. And it's not as loud as paint shaker.
What's it called?
But it's called the St. John Shaker.
And then you got the carousel one, the Captain Low.
That's the better one.
Well, I mean, see, that's how it is. You know, at some point, we're going to have this depository, which there are probably already some, because I haven't dug that much into it.
Yeah.
Where, you know, people who create this stuff can get a little bit of a royalty off of it.
Yeah, they do that now.
Yeah, they have several sites like that. Some sites will be just completely free. Other sites will have some free or pay.
Yeah, pay some stuff.
And, man, I'll tell you what. You go to some of the more medical sites where you can get 3D renderings of organs and bones and all that stuff, and you'll pay $400, $500, $600, $800 just for a 3D file.
Well, look how it's revolutionized dentistry.
Yeah.
Like almost every dental place now has 3D printing where they can make the teeth you need, the filament or the molds.
Yeah, instead of doing all the wax and the blah, 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 they scan
it. And send it out to whoever, and, you know, now they do it right in the house.
And yeah.
And see, that's it comes down to is the reason why people don't use technologies is their ability to use them.
Yeah.
The more broad and weird this thing seems and more complicated, the less likely people. It's like, why do I need that? Why would I ever want that? I don't have that.
I used to be one of
If you have something where they can just basically go
push
on it, I need a toothbrush.
Dude, I remember for years
it's when printed.
They started tinkering with bringing back rotaries.
Yeah.
You know, before Cheyenne came out with the cartridges and stuff, and I was like, why are you trying to fix the wheel? It rolls. Leave it alone.
I was the same
I was like, this is just stupid. They didn't work great 50 years ago when we tried them, and we moved on to these for a reason. Like, I ain't going backwards.
It's because the technology wasn't
But then
there
the technology
yet.
Got better, and now I'm like, you know, I haven't touched my coil machines in 3 years.
Plus, it's not a Walkman either.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, I would love, you know, to get to the point where somebody comes in. Because, like, one of the biggest challenges we have as piercers is finding the correct length of something or width of something to fit somebody's body.
You're guessing how much it's going to swell and this exactly. and that and everything. But like, geez.
Even after that, you're just trying to, you're going, well, that looks about 3/16 of an inch. So I should probably put maybe, we'll try 3/16, but it'll probably really need probably a 5/32. And there's no options for that.
Right.
So to have that ability to 3D print out a brace that fits the person perfectly.
Yeah, because of their body structure. Would be awesome. That would be rad.
In the individual designs, especially, because I'm guessing if the more, I would say gold would probably work pretty well.
To
gold
print?
And silver.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine, you could.
Because it's kind of.
Almost liquefy. You could almost resin print that or not resin print, but the.
Filament
print that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just need a hot enough tip. And
yeah, with a little gold rod.
You'd have to cool it really quickly.
Yeah, because you just buy the 14-karat alloy. Yeah,
imagine how expensive that would be.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I buy gold jewelry. Goose. But think how cool it'd be to be able to print out.
That'd be awesome.
A specialty piece that person designed.
Yeah. And you could still have a booklet of thousands of designs, and you could go, okay, you like that? All right, we need it in 5/32. Boop. And then prints out that
minutes.
Design in that size, exactly the size you need.
No more waiting 8 to 12 weeks for your custom piece.
I could see how shoes would be the same way.
Mm.
Because there already are printable shoes.
Yep.
But it'd be so simple. Or even making soles. You could choose individual soles. Like, man, I want those ups with those lowers, and you could just bang.
Plus, would on top of that, our feet aren't exactly the same.
Right, they're different sizes.
The other ones, and we stuff them in these things that don't fit.
Man, we got from shoes to
we went all over the place on that.
So the scary part of this would be, of course, tattooing barcodes on people and having special identification and that being your way of accessing your governmental.
Well, in a scary way, it'd be more regulated by the big government.
It'll get to that. And when you're born, you'll get a thing zapped into you, and that's got
you get a barcode on your foot
security number, and it'll be used to verify who you are.
That's funny. They'll use the same excuse.
That's funny you say that. I was scrolling through Facebook the other day, and they do the little stories and videos and whatnot. And there's this chick on there, and she's pretty heavily tattooed. But she always comes up with some of the most off-the-wall topics and arguments. Like the other day, she was arguing with her mom how she doesn't understand how she can't get her newborn kid, like a little tiny tattoo on their wrist or ankle or something. I'm like, are you kidding? What? Why would you do that to a child, first off? Like, you're not even giving them a choice if they want to, have something.
There's no consent.
And the contortion of, growing, when you're, newborn to, 40,
that's gonna
how much
awful,
that thing is going to be horrible. Man. It started on your wrist, now it's up in the middle of your forearm.
Or in the middle of your hand.
And she's like, well, give me one reason why I shouldn't, because it's my kid. And I'm like, own that person, first off.
No.
Yeah.
And you don't get to make all the decisions for the rest of their life for them.
I mean, I know some parents that think that way.
Right. So I was started, kind of listening to all this stuff, and she was like, she cleared my stuff and banned me, but whatever.
Good.
She was just trying to, it was just so crazy for, as a tattoo artist, to hear, a person being like, oh, what's wrong with tattooing my newborn child? Well,
that's wild.
I wouldn't even dream of putting them through that pain or
situation. If she ever thought of, wow, if my mother would have given me tattoos when I was a baby, and now I grew up and there's one kind of half on my neck and face, and I've got this blobs kind of here and there. I mean, would she'd be totally okay with that?
Well, her argument was I'm covered in tattoos. I look like that.
Her mom owned her.
But it's not going to look like that after you grow and stuff. So
it's the same reason why I don't feel comfortable piercing infant ears.
Like if I give your infant a bodysuit, it's not going to look like a bodysuit when they're grown.
And it's not going to look so weird.
Yeah, just that alone, not even touching the abuse side of it.
Yeah.
The fact that, it's not going to be at all what you want it to be later.
Watch the Adam Sandler movie, That's My Boy, and check out his back piece.
Right.
See what we're talking about.
Yeah. Didn't one of you guys do a tattoo? It was a memorial tattoo that had something in it that played a song.
I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Do you think we're going to see more of that kind of
the more digital interaction? Kind of? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Interactive tattoos.
There's NFC tattoos, or not the NFC, the...
I can't remember exactly how that thing worked.
It was a sound wave, her voice on a recorded, and it goes to this company, and they send me back the tattoo of what the tattoo is, and I tattoo that on you, and then your phone has that app of whatever that company is, and it goes over and it reads that, what it says the song is, or the voice or whatever. Yeah. It's her talking to him and, hey, I miss you, I love you, or whatever, and, she's passed on. So, he can always hold his phone up, and she'll talk to him. Yeah. which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much of that I'd pay for.
I mean, people are sentimental and stuff.
But I mean, that's a cool thing. But are we going to see more industries come in and try to capitalize?
Oh, I'm sure they're going to try to advance on it and do something else. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're naming liquors tattoo. You know, and they're naming makeup tattoo this or that. Yeah. If they can mix in tattoo and make more money, they're definitely.
And while the wave's going, they're definitely going to do it.
Yeah.
Until it crashes.
I mean, we've already seen sponsorship tattoos, which I think is.
I think it's crazy. So-and-so casino on my forehead. Like, you're nuts.
Yeah, that was, and that's been going on forever.
That's been going on for a long time.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, but it did get this little boom of popularity where people were selling their body parts on eBay and whatnot.
Post Malone did a Dorito on his cheek.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, I wonder, you know, if it'll get to the point where you're in a, it could be helpful from the standpoint of something like that if you're impaired speech or what have you, or death, to have this tattoo on your arm and just go, you know, hold up your phone and the phone will read it and tell them things.
It can be great and it can be abused like anything else that you know, humans get a hold of.
I would imagine maybe tattoos that change that you can kind of just
today I'm black and gray religious.
Pigment around.
Yeah, I would like to see that. Like, I know that
the LED screens under your skin.
Yeah, and the only that uses your own electricity.
We'll be cuttlefish.
Nano.
Yes, I would love to be a cuttlefish. That would be awesome. I want
that. That would be. Yeah, I could see maybe. You know, you couldn't really do a temperature thing because you know you're almost always the same temperature. But that would be interesting. Maybe that adjusted maybe blood flow. Or something like that, and it would change. Well, yeah, like when you were nervous or when you were agitated.
Kind of a mood ring,
a frequency.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
Like that was white tattoos when they started. You're doing them on areas that would flush.
Yeah.
When you get like passionate or whatever,
turn pink.
And you're supposed to tattoo these white ones, and so when you get flush, it like shows up a little better.
Or get a
it
sunburn.
Never worked well, but yeah,
well,
that
you
was
know,
the
and
idea.
The, and it would work really well. And this is really not a great joke, but if the person, you know, if everybody just got a tattoo on their forehead that when you met them when you were single and you walked up to them and said, "Hey," and started to talk to them, that said, "Hey, I like you."
Or when it says I'm bipolar or...
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be helpful.
I like yours better.
Yeah, bipolar.
If you're an orange, you're bipolar. If you're yellow, you're mellow.
It just you know, kept screaming, run.
Run away. Well, I don't know. I like that kind of danger.
Right.
Some people would, and they would look for that.
But yeah, and I do see that I don't. There's going to be some medical applications, I think, in the future.
Absolutely.
You know, it'd be really nice. You go into a hospital. There's a guy. There's the guy in the
instead of wearing your Medicare bracelet or whatever.
Yeah, in the ambulance, that just goes dink, and there's everything right there. Your medications.
Where's your tattoo?
What you're allergic to? Everything.
Well, that would be a uniform spot, most likely.
But they have that with RFID, and and there's no. Oh, they messed up a little bit, so it doesn't read right. Situation. Right. It's a little thing. It takes 2 seconds.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Instead of hours or whatever, putting it on, then hoping it heals correctly so it can be read. I mean, RFID is pretty much, you know, taking care of that. That and facial recognition. Because really, if you have a face and you're on file, all they got to do is scan your face. And
I made it easy. I tattooed mine.
Dude, where's your tattoo?
Right.
Unscannable.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And
he's not in the system, bro.
I've never actually tried to take a scanner to any of those bar scan.
I did. I had friends or customers that did it back when it was a craze. And like, I would always ask them, like, what do you want the barcode off of? And they're like, I don't know, whatever. And I'm like, okay. I had one off like a Swiffer that I would do that I kept on the board pinned up. And I had one off like a Playboy magazine that was pinned up. And like, depending if you had like a preference or whatever, what I'd use on it, if you brought your own or whatever. And if not, well, you'd get one of those, you know.
A Swiffer or a Playboy?
Yeah, they're basically
and I had a couple people come
price.
Back and was like, hey, the dude lady at Walmart scanned my barcode and it came up like $6.95 Swiffer. I'm like, well, that's what it was. That's what it came off of. So,
yeah, there
success.
You go.
Okay.
Jizz mopper.
But if you got it spacing wrong, it did not read it.
I want to say the Slipknot ones, they all claimed it was their barcode from the first record. I don't think it really was. I think it was just some shit they
could be a neat idea.
The internet. Yeah.
It would be an easy way to find out. I'm sure you've got that album laying around somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Just then. Oh, and I have a scanner. I'll just scan the back of one of their heads.
And then overlay it over top of the, like on the iPad, if you had one. you could overlay it over and match it.
You just need to find the album and look at the barcode and then check the numbers.
Have you guys been asked to do a QR code tattoo yet?
I don't think I've done one.
No, I don't. God. I think those would be really complicated.
I thought barcodes were difficult.
They've done it. They've done it, and I've seen them work. Supposedly, can be done.
Yeah.
I think with the barcode, it's just big. If you try to do it really small,
it's the width in between the lines and the numbers on it.
Yeah, the QRs are a lot more complicated.
Yes. I wonder how much deviation that would.
I was nervous as hell when I did that app with the, you know, her voice or whatever. I was like, oh God, please God, let this work. You know,
the thing is with those though is the more information that's in there, the more detailed those things are.
Uh-huh. Mm.
So like if you put like a name in, like a 4-letter name in there, maybe. But probably if you're simplified. Doing like the meaning of life is blah 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 blah, 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 thinking you're going to save passage. Space. Oh no, that's going to be a
just a simple QR code.
I hope we're not giving one of your clients ideas.
Your chest or something like that. This one tells my life story.
Just a whole chess piece.
Yep.
The one I saw was he had a one of those QRs on the chest, and you scanned it, and it went to it Rickrolled you. Sent you to YouTube and started playing
See, I would imagine that would be like on the chest, and you scan it, and then there's a chest tattoo that pops up of like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like, a dragon, like something right. really awesome.
This is what
that
I wanted. Cool.
That took a lot of time and
a tattoo of a dragon.
You could do that really easy. That'd be funny. You just go around and find tattoos you really like, you know, arms, legs, chest, torso, back.
And you never have to make up your mind.
Just have QR codes, you know, just like on top of your thigh, and then you scan it, and it shows the style beautifully. Right.
Yep. Like, yeah, what's up?
This week I'm this one. Oh, tomorrow I'm that one.
I think it could work for pickups.
I think I just put us in the poorhouse.
You know, you just have every name, female
dude,
name,
if you had
male
a whole sleeve of those, like, well, today I'm this, tomorrow I'm that, on Wednesday I'm this.
That's the way you'd have to have it now, because you'd have to have, like, girl tattoos, boy tattoos, giraffe tattoos, cat tattoos. You know, I feel
everything,
like
everything that
monkey.
Might be a possibility.
Yeah, I feel like a monkey today. So
love is strange. Love is strange.
Wow.
So, anything else we can think of that the future might bring?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's about it.
I wanted to mention
a drink you can hold on
There's
to.
A drink.
Well, then I'm going to mention mine. The one thing I wanted to mention as far as something that's been kind of revolutionary is the bandaging.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's what kind of needed help. In my opinion, like our pigments were getting better, our needles were getting better, our machines were getting better, our preparation materials were getting better and all that. But still, you were left with this wound that this person had to take care of in a specific way to make the final result good. So removing the customer out of the equation.
Not saying we have bad customers.
Well, no, not brilliant. At all.
I'm just saying making us idiot proof.
It's the same reason they say, well, why can't you do the portrait on the back of my finger? You know, they just don't know how
it
works. They don't, don't know. So same thing with healing a tattoo. They don't really know what they're doing and why. So to take them out of the loop as much as possible to make them unresponsible, you know, take the responsibility off of them more as much as you can helps. And that's what that, the bandaging does.
And everybody was different. Like if mine coming off and washing it so many times a day and lotioning it a certain way, a certain time of day, worked for me. It doesn't necessarily mean it would work for you. That new bandage eliminates that.
I was thinking about this the other day because somebody commented on something, was getting hand tattoos. And that was one of the things I suggested. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to make those tattoos that in areas that were troublesome. It
makes them more likely to stay.
Easier to heal and better results.
And then we're able to do more in those parts. Yes. Because there's sometimes, you know, you'll tattoo a certain part of the body that just doesn't hold on to those fine values or lines like another part. So you can only do so much to make it look as good as it can in that spot. But with that new bandage,
it
you can get away with a lot more because it doesn't allow the area to really scab up or to move in the
and
same
way. And mainly to
way.
Become infected, because let's face it, an infected tattoo does not turn out well.
No. It certainly does not. And thank God that's a very, very
rare thing.
And especially now with that bandage, I mean, the stuff I use is 3 days, but there's stuff you can leave on for up to 5 days to a week. And by then you're out of the danger zone for the most part. Like you can still mess it up if you go get a sunburn or you really want to fuck it up.
Yeah,
but for the most part, you're not going to get that motorcycle wreck scab. You know, you're not going to get that heavy scabbing at all because your body's already kind of over that part of the healing process. Yeah. And usually the most you're going to do is flake, like kind of a sunburny flake.
The newer bandages allow it to be like, kind of like, for less better term, like a turkey bag. It holds everything in. Like all that plasma and stuff that you usually like would lose from the bandage and wash off and trying to make your own like protective layer, it eliminates all that. And that barrier keeps that plasma in there, which promotes healing. Mm-hmm. And that allows it to pull it back in when healed way faster and way more efficiently.
Which is what your body do its thing. With people about crusties and discharge. Oh, it has to come off there. It has to come off there.
It's like back in the day, people call you the next day. Oh, I got tattooed last night at 10 o'clock and it's kind of red around it today. So I'm thinking it's infected. First off, infection takes 72 hours or more to develop.
Yeah.
And you've only been tattooed for 5.
Yeah.
It's red because it's irritated as hell. Because
you caused trauma.
Because you traumatized the shit out of that area.
And
you
know, it's pumping blood into the area to squeeze it off to try to avoid things coming in. And
the clear oozy stuff is plasma.
And leaking things out that make you alive.
Trying to protect it.
The more blood is in that area, the more white blood cells are in that area, which you're going to heal faster. Mm-hmm. So I would say, do you know that I stabbed you for 5 hours with needles?
Yeah.
Do you know that? Did you?
And you paid me for it.
Have you ever had a wound ever? Like, have you ever, I don't know, hurt yourself
at all?
Well,
a stab wound.
Yeah.
Did it get red? You know?
It's like, a little agitated.
It's
got mad.
People, I don't know, I think some people think that tattooing lives in this, its own magical little wonderland.
Well, yeah, you hear it all the time. I've never bled on my tattoos before. Like, yes, you have.
Yeah.
Or it wouldn't be a tattoo.
You bled on
We just
all
did
them.
A good job of cleaning you up before you looked at it. That's really what it comes down to. Because I used to get that all the time on piercings. It's like,
I didn't bleed. No, you just didn't see it.
No, you bled everywhere.
Especially if you're doing color. Especially if you're doing color. Because the black absorbs it a lot. It's hard. They think it's ink. But when you do like yellow or white, they're like, is that going to, that's pink, man. No, you're pink because you're bleeding. That's white with red coming out of it.
We poach you. You're pink. A big bug.
Yeah.
Again, we don't live in this little magical wonderland where normal physics do not apply.
Nope.
And normal human
physics
reactions.
Physics still works.
We're creating a wound. And not only that, we're putting a foreign substance in your body that your body does not want there.
No, it's trying to push it out.
And it'll do everything it can to get it the frick out of there. And if you help it, it's really easy because your body already wants it to be gone.
Yeah.
So, people just, they don't live in the ecosystem we do where it's just every day, common sense to us. And it's sometimes hard to remember.
That's why
that
I cover that.
We were tattoo stupid too,
Absolutely.
And it's not necessarily their fault.
So I'm going to add one last thing, and then we'll call it quits on this one. Remote tattooing and piercing.
Yeah, remote. I want my magic arms.
Basically, where there's robot, because they do remote surgeries, and you talked about AI surgery.
Right.
If there's a pair of like arms, I can put my arms in at home and look at this screen and like...
in bed.
A fake like arm or whatever I'm working on, and I can get like that texture and that feel, and I can do it from here, and it's doing it here or whatever. That's great, but you're back to that robot thing.
Yeah,
it can't tell consistency or
I
whatever.
I would think the hardest part about it would be like to, because I like feeling the tissue before I pierce it.
Yeah, it's hands on
pressure.
Now, if you guys, a lot of your technique comes down to having that skin.
You got
to
feel
right
the canvas,
tightness, and et cetera. So I don't know.
I want a mechanical set of arms like where I would be if I was here, but I want some sort of headband or helmet on to where I can just do it with my brain.
Yeah.
Okay,
I can
Dr.
just
X.
imagine what I'm doing and the arms will go, yeah, man, I got you.
Professor X and X.
You kind of connect with the instrument.
Not
like
me, man.
Robot,
my mind wanders and does so much stupid crap.
You can Jedi magic
feel
stuff.
A little bit of the tactile.
My mind is way too sporadic for that.
Yeah, and
I'm sure there would have to be like a VR kind of environment.
The tactile feedback wouldn't be that hard.
No.
I mean, you have sensors that can push up against something and relay, what that would feel like on another sensor pushing against you. And I don't think that, and even temperature you could do easily, so I think it's getting these fine, very fine, minute changes and differences in pressure and angle and everything else just right when you need it. Because ask any tattoo artist, you can be attacking the skin at one angle in a spot and the pigment will fly in.
Mm-hmm.
You can turn your hand a little bit do that exact same thing and it's nothing.
Yep.
So it's there's almost like a like in wood, there's almost like a grain in skin. So getting to a machine to figure all of that out and get
That's where the AI would have to come in.
I think we're fine.
But I wouldn't trust my brain to do Professor X style at all. ADD and sporadic. Dude, don't tell them what you get.
The main thing that would appeal to me is a situation where, you know, there's a lot of artists, like the larger old school artists, that I'd like to at least get a small piece from eventually.
Before they're gone.
But they don't come out to conventions like they used to. No. Now you have TV stars that come to conventions.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The possibility of, like, you know, going, okay, I can't fly to New York, but I can get Paul Booth to do this little thing on me remotely.
The VR tattoo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For, you know, at That'd 3 o'clock neat, in the but... morning. That would be a cool option.
That would
and the
be
piercing neat. Side of it. The hardest part is the movement of the arm. I mean, me and Shane were talking about this the other day. She's like, well, I notice sometimes the needle does this. And I go, that's because you're not moving like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're swinging.
Yeah, you push.
You've got to push. And that's one of the reasons, like, to have a robotic arm that can do this, because we do this motion in some mm-hmm. piercings, and to also do this and do it at all these different angles.
Well, they have arms and hands now that can do and articulate just like a human arm. So
it's complicated.
Well, it could be like a piston motion because it's always going to be consistent if the person's land correct.
Because, like, was it Levi's had the Gene one where he can't, this comes in and just shoots a stud into their
stud
nose.
In his nose?
I'm like, it's never going to be that easy, and it's not that simple.
It's like the robot tattoos.
And once you did it, like, say I had my robot arms and I tattooed an eagle on a guy's shoulder, well, all those moves could be recorded and replayed for another person.
Yeah, you could do it automatically.
And then it would just adjust to the size of the person in the location.
Yeah, I mean, because it knows all the movements, it knows when to do what.
Kind of like a player piano.
So once you did that, you could just go, oh, you want that one? Fuck.
You're programming
that one. Just go click. Yeah.
So every time it's
active tattooing,
and that might be a huge
programming.
And then
that might be a huge revenue stream for people that get, for health reasons, they can't tattoo anymore or retire. You know, it used to be, you know, a lot of tattoo artists relied on that flash sale.
It records all their stuff they've done.
Pay for everything
career.
Else that was going. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
So if you ever want to duplicate something close to it or a small deviation from it, you know. Well, he's done 9,000 eagles, so you know, about 8,000 of them are in the machine. So, you know, you can vary.
Yeah, that would be really
a little bit, but you know, kind of programming it as you go.
Yeah, I guess whether it would be a viable thing or not, it would be possible at that point.
Yeah,
to record the movements, because a lot of times that's how you can program a robotic arm is just physically moving the arm, and it knows where the motors are and how it moved to get there. It records that and just replays it.
It's called, I want to say it's called stage.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a 3D printer almost, because it takes that design you put in it and it reads it. And,
you know,
basically.
Because you already tattooed and made that design.
Basically, you stop it. You know, it's like stop action animation. You stop it at that position and then you go, that's there.
Yeah,
there,
that's position,
there,
whatever.
Yeah. There,
that's position,
there,
whatever.
There.
But it would be doing it just automatically while you're actually doing the tattoo, would be recording all the movements.
Yep. Okay.
And then just, make those arms do that again without the input. And it would
scale it to that person's body size.
Yeah, exactly. Could have readers on it. You could have, like, you know, sensors on it that reads the body type, the size, or whatever.
Yeah.
We're just putting ourselves out of work. You better wrap this up.
Yeah, wrap it up.
Oh, I think there's always going to be that level that has to program the thing to get it to work. There's always going to be.
I don't program. I draw.
Well, but your drawing is an actuality programming.
Could be. He
that's what
Python.
You're doing. Every time you draw on an iPad, that's exactly what you're doing. Is you're telling it what to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I guess we're done with this one. If you have something you think will happen in the future. Go ahead and put a comment down below. We'd be interested to hear. You've been also check out our merch store. Like, subscribe, do all that fun stuff, and share with other people. Let everybody build everybody else into the party. Till next time, here's hoping all your tattoos and piercings heal with ease and without a single issue. And if you're in the Des Moines, Iowa area, we all hope to see you for your tattooing and body piercing needs in the future. Have a good day, everybody. Thank you for listening or watching.
Call your mom.
Bye, guys.